All right. How's everybody doing? Are you ready to get into this? All right. Well, turn to Philippians 4. If you would, please, we're going to start with verse 6. And I'm excited about this today because I want to tell you, God has been teaching me something that has actually been life-changing for me. Even though I've been a Christian for all these years, even this year, God is teaching me things that's actually been life-changing. And I said, God, why didn't you teach me this years ago? This is genius stuff. And he said, I tried to. my hearing in the physical world has gotten a little worse as I get older, but in the spiritual world, it's getting better. Amen? Philippians 4, starting with verse 6. Be anxious for what? Exactly. All right. Well, y'all have a great day, and we'll see you here next Sunday. You're welcome. Yeah, that's all right. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, like I said, God's been teaching me something, and it reminds me of this scripture, and I'll explain why. Where is the source of your peace? What is the reason for your peace? What is the reason for your joy? I realized as a young man that I was one of those type of guys that I like to have something to look forward to. I needed an event that's coming up in my life, like what's my next vacation, or what's the next great event? What's my next hunting trip? Okay, thank you. Something like that. When do I get to go fishing next? These things, I needed something. Or maybe I'm thinking about buying a this or a that. And I needed something, and that gave me joy. That kind of kept me going. Anybody else like that? Or has ever been like that before? It kind of keeps you going. It's that excitement thing that you can look forward to, even if it's the weekend sometimes. I get to do this, or we get to go on this trip, this weekend. What is the reason for my joy? And the reason I say that is because the thing that God's been teaching me is that there does not need to be any tangible reason for me to be at peace or to be at joy. This scripture proves it. Leave this scripture up there for a minute, if you would. Verse 7. And the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension. There is no rhyme or reason I should be at peace. I've got all these troubles. I've got things. I've got things that could cause anxiety and stress. Man, you ought to see the people I work with. Oh. There's no reason at all I should be at peace. But when I feel at peace during those times, that's God's peace. As a matter of fact, to experience this kind of peace, think about this logically, to experience this kind of peace, we actually have to go through something and a situation that doesn't make any sense why we feel peace at that moment. Because, you know, most of us work and we have spent most of our lives with a job. And if we got a bank account and we have a home, a decent home, decent car, we're in decently good health. We have a savings account, a retirement. Maybe we have insurance, health insurance, stuff like that. That's good. And you say, you know, I'm at peace. And no, duh, what have you got to worry about? Now, there's nothing wrong with any of that. All of that's really good. As a matter of fact, some of that is biblical. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. So some of that's biblical, and none of that is bad. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying to experience this type of God's peace that passes all understanding, we don't get to experience that without going through something that it makes no reason why we feel at peace, right? God's peace isn't the absence of troubles. It's actually during those troubles that we have access to that peace to a greater degree. It's the peace that passes all understanding, beyond comprehension. So God began to teach me that all of the fruits of the Spirit are that way. His peace is a fruit of the Spirit. I have access as a Christian. I have access to these fruits, these products of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit creates these products. Product application. That's what God's been teaching me. How do I access the fruits of the Spirit, and how do I apply them to our lives? Because sometimes I don't naturally feel joyful or at peace. But biblically speaking, I have access to it. So maybe I should. For instance, Nehemiah 8:10 says, 8:10, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The Lord's joy, the joy of the Lord, that's your strength. It's my strength. The joy of the Lord. I don't have to create it. I don't have to have a reason for it. I don't have to kind of manufacture it or kind of, it's not even mine. I just get to use it. The joy of the Lord is my strength. 1 Thessalonians 1:6-7. You know this stuff, I've kind of known this stuff all my life, but for, you know how sometimes God plants something in you that is just makes it more real than you've ever realized before? And that's what God's been teaching me with this. 1 Thessalonians 1:6-7. You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit. They received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit. At a time that seems like joy is not on the table at all, they felt joy. Because it wasn't a product of anything that they were doing or did. It was the product of the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of them. Amen? Oh, yeah. Verse 7 says, so that you became an example to all believers in Macedonia. Because they received this word from Paul and his cohorts, with joy, even though they were in tribulation, it created them to be an example for the people in that area. Oh man, the kingdom of God is like, yeah, he shoots, he scores. So I can experience this joy or this peace or any fruit of the Spirit at any time. Jesus said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. My peace I leave with you. The peace that Jesus had, he left with you. And he didn't say, I'm going to give it to you whenever you need it. He left it here for us years ago. It's here. We have access to it. And sometimes that's hard for us to understand when we're going through times that's not so peaceful. It's Jesus' peace. It's this joy of the Lord. I'll give you a story. When I was young, I was born late in my parents' life, and my parents were extremely frugal. They had lived through the Depression. Anybody here, you know, some of you may know, if you had parents that lived through Depression, they save everything. My mom used to wash out the Ziploc baggies and dry them and reuse them. Now, I used to think it was normal, but I know some people, you still do. But these days, we just throw stuff like that away. We saved everything that could be saved. Very frugal. So, I say that because it's. I'm going to make a point. I went to, I think, an unusual situation. We were spending the night in a hotel one time. And as a young boy, and I was taking a shower, and I was using the shampoo. And I just a little bit of shampoo, you know, just save everything. Very frugal. And I thought, wait a second. This isn't my shampoo. This shampoo, I'm not going to pay any more or any less for it if I use it or don't use it. It's not mine. Suds all over everywhere. Washed my hair like 4 or 5 times. Now, I don't even know why it was such a big deal, but I remember that because it wasn't my shampoo. I could use as much of it as I wanted to. That's what's great about the joy of the Lord. It's not yours anyway. You're not going to pay for it. You're not going to save anything by not using it or saving it up for later. Use it all. Use as much as you can. It's not even yours. The peace of Jesus. So then, what that means then is that my peace and my joy has nothing to do with my current situation. Think about it. Regardless of what I'm going through, and I know this is tough for humans to get, but if you get this in your spirit, regardless of what we're going through, none of that has any factor on the fruits that's being produced inside of me. My joy is not affected by my physical status, according to the Word of God. Fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. Let's just look at that. Galatians 5:22, the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. These are the characteristics that the Spirit of God produces. He grows these. He produces these characteristics. Divine characteristics is what I call them. We have access to these. Turn to your spouse and say, what did you do with all that patience? Or don't. Pastor Temple talked about spiritual authority last week. Great message. This is part of it. We have the authority to access and apply these divine characteristics that's being produced by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. So now the question becomes this. So we have access to it, to these products. How do we apply them? How do we get access? How do I get my hands on that piece and apply it to my life? And I want to give you 5 things that I believe is going to help us access and apply the products created by the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of us. All right, you ready? First one is this. Realize it. You don't go after something if you don't believe that it's there. Realize it and believe that the Spirit is in you and that the Spirit is creating these products for you. 2 Corinthians 1:21 and 22. I'm going to fly through some scriptures here. I like to use a lot of scriptures because the Bible proves things better than I can ever. Now, he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. 1 Corinthians 3:16, Paul said, do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Did you know that you are a temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? And that Spirit produces these divine characteristics. You are a manufacturing plant / warehouse for divine characteristics. Who would have thought? You've got this stuff inside you. Okay? And then we know the Spirit produces these things. Number two. So number one, realize and believe it. Number two, remove the negative in your life. I like to say negate the negators. Because if we have these products within us, getting them through the distribution system of the warehouse, the handling system, there are snags in our handling system sometimes. There are things that cause these products to get blocked up. Because let's face it, sometimes I go through a really bad time or a really bad day. I don't feel joy. I'm not producing any joy. Joy's not coming out of me at all. It happens. It's human nature. Well, let me tell you, there's things that we can do and remove to get rid of those snags that's going to keep those things from getting out. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing that raised up against the knowledge of God. Everything that raises up against the knowledge of God. This is what the world is saying to you, and you think to yourself, is this what the Bible says? No. Well, then we've got to get rid of that. It's trying to raise itself up against the knowledge of God. What does God say about you in your situation? That's going to be more true. Destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. We have to control our thinking. That's where negativity sometimes starts, most often. Starts in our thinking. Control your thoughts. When you have those thoughts that say, oh man, I bet they're not home yet. I bet they're on the side of the road. Just stop it. No. That is against the knowledge of God. You keep control of your thoughts and keep control of your feelings. Because sometimes we feel things because of circumstances that we're involved with. Now here's the deal. Our emotions and our feelings, they're real and legitimate. There's no getting around that. We're humans, right? And I'm not suggesting that they're not important or they're not legitimate. But I do know this. This is far more legitimate than anything that I will feel. This is far more legitimate than anything that the world is going to tell me that's opposite this. This is far more legitimate than my fears, my anxiety, worry, stress, or the Word of God. This is more legitimate. Depression or the Word of God. And I'm going to get rid of those things that don't line up with this. 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. For we walk by faith and not by sight. It's not about what we see or feel. Sometimes it's about our faith. I want to point out one other word in here. We walk by faith. Don't try to do Christianity by yourself. We walk by faith. Okay. That's extra, and I'm not even going to charge you for that one. John 20, 24 through 29. Oh. John 20. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. starting with verse 24. This is a story about Thomas. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Puff Didymus. Never mind. Was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were saying to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to him, "Unless I see in his hands the imprint of the nails and put my finger to the place of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." After 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst. And he says, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach here with your finger and see my hands, and reach here your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but be believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they who did not see and yet believe." So I read this because there's feelings, there's circumstances that we're involved in, and yet there's the Word of God that says that we have joy and that we have peace. Blessed it is. You see, Thomas said that his physical situation reveals the truth and how he should believe and feel. Jesus says, blessed are those that believe against what the physical situation says and suggests. Jesus said, do not let your heart be troubled. I read that earlier, John 14:27. Do not allow your heart to be troubled. You know, it's almost as if Jesus is suggesting that you have a choice to not let your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled. We do have a choice. Because there's a spirit inside of us that is greater than anything in the world. And that spirit is producing divine characteristics like peace. No matter what you're going through, practice that. Remove the negativity. Number three, replace it with positive. So now I've got this handling system, this delivery system in my warehouse. Products are coming out. I've removed the snags, so now I'm going to grease the wheels. You know those big conveyor rollers that they throw packages on at Amazon. I'm going to grease the wheels. I'm going to make it easy for things to fly out of here. I'm going to replace those things with positive. I'm going to replace with good thoughts, with praise and thanks, and with the Word of God. Good thoughts, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, of good repute, if there's any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. I read part of Philippians 4 earlier. We're going to go back to chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. So, three things to point out here. Number one, with thanksgiving, replace the negative with a positive. Be thanking and be praising. And then the last scripture there will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Thanksgiving and this peace that we get from God that surpasses all comprehension will guard our hearts and our minds, or our feelings and our thoughts. Right? praise will keep you from focusing on negative things. 2 Timothy 1:7. Who can quote that scripture for me? 2 Timothy 1:7. Sound familiar? Yeah, that's right. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity or fear, but of power and love and sound mind. Replace the negative with the positive. If you have a spirit of fear that starts dwelling up in you, or worry, or anxiety, or stress, say, nope, that's not what God produces. That's coming from some other place. Psalms 119:105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Pastor Temple said it greatly last week. The word is important. This is the positivity that's going to get into your life. It's going to cause the distribution system of your warehouse to function properly. John 17:17 says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Grease the wheels of your delivery system with right thinking, with praise and thanksgiving, and the word of God. And that brings us to number four, recite it. Speak it. Let me read you some scriptures about this. Think about this. Think about these scriptures. We heard this a lot last week. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Matthew 15:11. It is not what enters into the mouth that defiles a man, but what proceeds out of the mouth. This defiles the man. Matthew 12:33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you, listen to this, every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Wow! James 1:26. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Calm down, James. Goodness. Something's got in his craw. Your religion is worthless if you do not bridle your tongue. Listen, there is power in your words. Now, the problem with religious pendulums, you know, we've seen it go, and we had this era of prosperity and name it, claim it, and all this, the faith movement. Now, the danger is when it swings over to the far side, and we're like, you can't control anything just by talking about it or speaking it or saying. Listen, the Word of God says, yes, you can. It's all over the Bible. Your words have a power. Now, I may not be a name it and claim it guy, but I am a if you read it, believe it, speak it guy. If you read it, believe it, speak it. It works. Your words hold power. It is very clear that the Bible teaches that so many times. Number five, now represent it. Live it. Well, you might say, I got to be myself. I mean, I don't want to be put on an act. I don't want to be fake, right? I'm having a rough day. I don't feel joy. Sue me, you know, for goodness sakes. It's just how it is. I can't be fake. We're talking about human nature versus spirit nature. Because it's human nature to feel anxious during stressful times. It's only natural. It's only human if you feel worried during troubled times. It's only human, you know, if you get angry when you've been cheated. You know, congratulations, you're human. You know, we've all heard that. It's just human nature. Galatians 2:20. Are you ready? Have you got your seatbelt on? I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Galatians 5:16-17. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. There's spirit nature, there's human nature. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, what is he? He's a new creature. Some of the old things are passed away. Okay. The old things are passed away. Behold, new things are coming. New things are here. You're a new creature. 2 Peter 1:4, for by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become, get this, I love it, partakers of the divine nature. We have divine characteristics within us that we have access to, and we can apply it to our lives regardless of the situation that you're in. The characteristics that we had when we were sinners are not as legitimate as our new characteristics as new creatures, children of God. I write that down. Human nature is not as relevant as spirit nature. We wouldn't say that your human body is more relevant than your spirit body, because your spirit body is going to last forever. Human bodies only last for a tiny, tiny fraction of that. So we can't also say that your human spirit is more relevant than your spirit is. Human nature is not as relevant as your spirit nature. If it seems like an act, but it's in line with the Word of God, we call that faith. Right? You've heard fake it till you make it. I'm not going to preach that, but I'm just saying. Faith without works is dead. If you're going to believe what the Bible says about you, that you have joy, you have these divine characteristics, you have peace, sometimes you're going to have to put your faith into action. You're going to have to speak it, recite it. You're going to have to represent it. You're going to have to live like that. So, realize that we have access to divine characteristics. These products of God's Spirit that lives on the inside of us. We can ignore them and we can live without them, or we can access them and we can apply them to our lives regardless of the situation that we're in. Love, joy, and peace. We can have that to a greater degree than we've ever realized. Pastor Temple and I were talking this week and we both felt that lately for some reason. there's been more peace and more joy in our lives and actually in this church. And it's because the Holy Spirit is creating these divine characteristics within us. And when we realize that and we've greased the wheels, we're letting that out, we can experience peace when peace shouldn't be experienced. We can feel joyful when everything around us is not joyful at all. We can be patient when it seems like there's no reason we should be patient. We can be good and kind during times it seems like that's the most difficult thing to do. Divine characteristics. Realize it. Remove the negativity. Replace with positivity. Recite it. And represent it. Live it every day. Would you stand with me, please? Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your Spirit that is within us. We thank you for giving us your Spirit, your seal of approval. We thank you for the characteristics that he produces in our lives. God, I ask that you would begin to teach us more and more, give us new and fresh revelation about how to use all that the Spirit has for us in our everyday lives, not just so that we can have a better life, but so that we can influence others to grow their relationship with you.